The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening, the doctrine of the sinful trend of Adam, or the old sin nature. Page 9 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, so that once again this evening we can apprehend the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature and engage in our human spirit and therefore ascertain truly, purely, what God's plan is for our life, recognizing the important spiritual principles that's incorporated into the Scripture, only understood via this method of the filling of God the Holy Spirit in that respect. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound. We start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you're born into this world with a fleshly body, then you're born possessing an SCA, the sinful trend of Adam and old sin nature. It is the SCA that is part of our genetic code, our DNA makeup, and it is the reason why all individuals are born into this world spiritually dead, as death is the judgment for possessing the sin nature, which is a reflection, manifestation of sin in regards to the individual and our own cursing by association with our corporate parent Adam in this respect. And hence, all of us are born spiritually dead. The exception to the rule is the person of Jesus Christ, who is born in the world without a sin nature. And that provides him the foundation to be qualified to be the Savior of mankind from the sin nature as he goes to the cross, as he went to the cross, and sacrifices plus R, his absolute righteousness, so that the sin nature can be overturned, overruled legally and otherwise in regards to mankind who will embrace him and believe him for their salvation. Now, phase one, our saving faith, deals with the sin nature on the level of our eternal disposition in regards to the fact that it is positionally before God seen as not being possessed by us, if you will. It's accredited to our account that it's like we don't have a sin nature in God's eyes, as our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This comes about through the doctrine of retroactive positional truth, in which our lives are identified with Christ, his work on the cross back some 2,000 years ago, in which he paid the penalty for the sins, the sin nature as it is, and therefore it's like we have accrued, if you will, the very value of Christ's work all the way some 2,000 years ago. And our position being in Christ denotes that God, therefore, looks at the fact that the payment has been paid already for us, and therefore we are in possession of God's plus R through our faith in Christ, and eternally the sin nature is, as I stated, as not existing at all in regards to God's eyes with respect to our eternal niche. However, there is still the issue, the believer, in regards to their experiential niche, in regards to their phase two in serving God. And that is the point that we're dealing with here, trying to wind down the doctrine here, and that is with respect to our phase two sanctification, being set apart to God for service, and the impact of the SCA in this respect. And this recognizes that even though we have believed in Christ and positionally our SCA has been set aside for all eternity before God, we still have to live in the flesh in our service to God. And when we believed in Christ, we were indwelled and filled with God the Holy Spirit. This brought about now two potential masters over our souls, the real you, in regards to our Christian life. We as believers continue to possess the flesh, continue to possess that sin nature, therefore engage in personal sins, and an inner conflict, an inner battle, hence started or commenced at the point of saving faith for the believer. And that is, who's going to rule over the real you? Is it going to be God, the Holy Spirit, or is it going to be your sin nature? That is up to each and every one of us based on our own choice and willingness and application of Bible doctrine in this respect. And the SCA can express itself in regards to the believer's priest's life in any fashion, sinful fashion, as an unbeliever, with the exception of only one sin that it cannot commit, and that's the sin of unbelief. Because once you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have annihilated that possibility. It's never and ever an issue for you again in that respect. But a believer can still engage in personal sins in regards to their own lives, just as unbelievers do in that respect. And the FCA manifests itself in certain categories that are in general applied to all of men, in certain fashions, such as sex lust, such as monetary lust, phallic lust, monetary lust, the approbation lust, the wanting to always be noticed by others, power lust, youthful lust, which is impetuous immaturity in regards to individuals, abnormal lust, that is sexual lust in an abnormal way, i.e. homosexuality, and then pleasure lust. And pleasure lust looks at always wanting to satiate the sin nature in regards to party time, pursuit of details, and things of this nature, lusting after these things continuously and in that fashion. So these are general categories of which the SCA obviously can express itself in to the power, how much it might be, fifth, maybe tenth power, of many possibilities in regards to these particular areas, in regards to one's individual life. Whatever circumstance and situation that may arise that the SCA can address in regards to the individual, that is a potential situation of the expression of the STA in that fashion. And the way that we are able to deal with the sin nature in life, obviously, is through the rebound technique, which is the mechanics given to us, the grace mechanics, in order for us to put in position of rulership God the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. Obviously, being in fellowship, rebound, being in fellowship, and allowing God the Holy Spirit to maintain that position throughout our lives in application of Bible doctrine is how we are victorious experientially in regards to our Christian lives over the sin nature. Now, Roman numeral 7, subpoint B, point A here, under the sin nature, page 10 of our notes, the believer is a spiritual POW in the angelic conflict. The Scriptures views us, when we get under our sin nature, as being captive, being made captive in regards to the enemy of this world, Satan, who rules individuals through the SCA. Hence, we are spiritual POWs, prisoners of war, the inner battle. And for that momentary time, however it may be, short or long, we are incapacitated. We have been neutralized in regards to serving God in action with honor. Romans 7:23. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and make me a prisoner of the law of sin. Paul, recognizing under temporal death, getting out of fellowship, that you become spiritually a POW. A POW, obviously, they're still alive, they're still able to do things, but they have been neutralized in regards to battle against the enemy and in their position. And until they escape, they obviously are usually of no benefit in regards to their ally or military that which they are joined to, and how we are able to escape from being a POW, which we can do at any time based on our own free will, is through rebound. So A, life in the POW camp is characterized by personal sin, human good, false doctrine, and human viewpoint. All those areas are aspects of expression of the sin nature. Human good, doing good things, otherwise out of fellowship. False doctrine, applying wrong doctrine, misapplying doctrine. Human viewpoint, obviously, goes hand in hand with false doctrine in that respect. So B, the believer remains a POW, is guilty of giving aid and comfort to the enemy. They're one less person they have to worry about. C, rebound is the only means of escape. D, the positive believer hates being in the enemy's camp. Our desire is to serve God, to do battle on His behalf. And while it happens, it's not anything that ultimately we want. And Paul again expresses these concepts in the Romans 7 passage, the verses that we've read already, the fact that he's doing the very things that he hates to do and he doesn't want to do, he wishes to do otherwise. And that's Romans 7, 15, 16, 19, and 20, which verses we've read a couple times in this doctrine already. So one sin puts us in the enemy camp. One little mental attitude sin can get you out of fellowship. And only with doctrine do you recognize what these sins are. And you don't have to tunnel your way out. You can beam your way out through God the Holy Spirit. Rebound. So F, due to negative volition, most believers, even though they will spend eternity with God, spend their phase 2 as prisoners of the sin nature, and as a result, they lose SG3. They don't lose salvation, because that's not dependent upon our experience in life. It's dependent upon our faith in Christ. This is all in the issues in regards to possessing as much SG3, accumulating, acquiring much SG3, surpassing grace phase 3 as possible, hopefully to be prize or wreath winners. So 9, the believer under the old sin nature also reaps divine discipline. To let it go, especially unbridled, often God will intercede in regards to the individual. Generally, is to be taken as a spiritual wake-up call. That would be the ultimate intention, even though it may not have that proper effect on those who are not willing to be sensitive to God's plan in that regard. Divine discipline, another aspect that believers often do not truly appreciate and understand in an evaluation of their own lives, that God's jamming them because they're running amok under their sin nature in an area or many areas in their life. And the principle of divine discipline is brought out in Hebrews 12, verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. The discipline, God can discipline in ways that we can't even imagine. And He knows where to get someone where it hurts, see. Often it's regards to one's health, it could be finances, relationships, other aspects of life. Then also verse 10, which Hebrews centers in regards to discipline in the body. Verse 10, for they discipline parents, us for a short time it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good. It's to stimulate us to divine good, to get a grip on your sin nature, see, and to acclimate to the authorities that God has put before you with Him as the ultimate authority, and hence produce divine good and make yourself wealthy for your phase 3. that we may share his holiness. 10, which ruler in life a believer chooses also impacts his or her understanding or distortion of Bible doctrine. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not understand the things of God because they're spiritual. They must be spiritually assessed. And the flesh is not spiritual. It's carnal. 11, when the believer in time succumbs to the temptations of the STA, they are considered, quote, dead, end quote, to God. Death can be used in a number of ways in Scripture. It's not always eternal death. It can be physical death. It can be temporal death, operational death, etc. And believers out of fellowship are considered dead to God until they resuscitate themselves through rebound. All these different principles, different ways of describing or explaining being under the sin nature. We saw that back in James 1, 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The lust is the salivation of your sin nature, that thing within you that wants to rear its ugly head, see, rather than acclimate and orient to doctrine under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. Then when lust has conceived, it bears sin. It looks like it is pictured here as an illicit sexual affair. The conception looks at the sexual act, and the SCA then conceiving the seed, if you will, of the will of the individual to go ahead with this activity. And then what happens is personal sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That death is temporal death, out of fellowship. So here the SCA is personified as a lascivious female on the prowl for a man to produce a bastard child. Not a legitimate child of the kingdom of God. Not one running under darkness, under minus R. A legitimate child operates under plus R, see. The soul, the real you, is the weak-minded male in the scenario here. The insatiable seductress comes on strong, attempting to sexually arouse the male. Make a movie out of this. Why not? Of course, they'd mess it up one way or the other. The two participles, carried away and enticed, represent the intense pressure the flesh puts on the soul, causing the salivation of trend and the promise of gratification. Again, you can't understate the power of the sin nature. Sometimes it just has its way with us. See. Conception here implies the sex act, that is the soul giving the STA the green light to copulate. See. The bastard progeny is the sin, be it mental attitude, verbal or overt. The result of fornicating with the STA is temporal death. And again, the same principle is brought out in Paul and Romans 7:8-11. So 12, when the believer is ruled by the STA, he is then of no value, and the plan of God is seen in the terms used to describe this state. Our term dead. Dead. Dead emphasizes the total inability of one to do anything and the state of utter helplessness. One's dead, they're worthless, lifeless. Nothing but a corpse. No good to anyone, truly, in the sense of service. Again, the term is used in conjunction with operation of the sin nature. Romans 6:21-23. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed, for the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been free from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification through rebound and maturity adjustment. And the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Again, chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, 8:13, Romans 8:13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. That's temporal death. It's like you're dead before God. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. how you resuscitate your life spiritually, rebound. B is seen under the terms of sleep, which emphasizes the state of insensibility caused by lethargy and spiritual slackness, allowing the SCA to call the shots. Ephesians 5, 11 through 14. And do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Darkness looks at evil, sin, human viewpoint, etc. Light looks at all that is good, righteousness, divine viewpoint, etc. For everything that becomes visible is light. You shine the doctrine on it, the evil, then you expose it, as if you shined a light on something. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. And then also 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. Here, the emphasis is on human viewpoint, void of sound Bible doctrine, hence darkness. We are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not night nor darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. To be spiritually asleep because of one's ignorance with respect to the doctrine at hand. And here as it applies to history, prophetic history, specifically the last days. C, obviously the term that we just went over separately as a prisoner of war, POW, as defined above in point 7b8, which shows that the believer is neutralized in the conflict until escape occurs. You escape, you get back on the front line and go back after it. At least that's the way they used to do it. I don't know what they do anymore. I understand you go through a basic training anymore, but they give you stress cards. Oh, I'm so stressed out. Well, that's what the world's coming to. That's what everybody's developing. D, slaves, another term used in regards to one out of fellowship, indicating the abject state of servitude to a cruel, abusive master. Romans 6, 16 and 23. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in temporal death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Experiential righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the soul to that form of doctrine to which you were committed. Under the term of drunk, of being drunk, spiritually drunk, illustrating this disorientation and inappropriate activity caused by intoxication of the STA. One loses one's inhibitions. Often they lose their common sense when they are in a state of drunkenness, disorientation. Can't drive straight. Things of this nature. Can't even walk straight. That term, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or wastefulness. Time clocked out of fellowship. when you're drunk, but be filled with the Spirit, giving you your alternative. Jeremiah 51 looks at, if you will, national abuse spiritually. Jeremiah 51, verse 39, when they become heated up, I shall serve them their banquet. This is prophetic Babylon. And make them drunk, providing the Holy Spirit loosening the reins of evil, providing all the different ways that people can indulge their STA in the last days. And this, again, as it applies specifically to the USA in prophecy. You can imagine every unclean bird finds residence, a place of residence here in this country, in our society. And hence all this puts the nation in a state of spiritual drunkenness. And that they may become jubilant, as the Sodomites and others throw up their cheers, you know, because they think they're advancing in regards to their agenda. And others, doesn't have to always be sodomized, but pretty easy to pick on. And may sleep a perpetual sleep. It's going to cost them dearly. One gets drunk, often they pass out. You can kick them, you can punch them, and sometimes they won't even come to. I had a relative one time, went to go see him. We didn't know. He'd indulged. Couldn't wake him up. I was shaking him and everything else, and I rolled him over, and he's an uncle. Hit his head on the corner of the table, man. I mean, bam! Hit the floor, bam! And he's coming to, and man, I thought I was in trouble. I thought I was going to die. And he goes, oh, hey, how you doing, Kenny? back on the deal. Okay, so you don't like that kind of humor. That's a true Ken Reed story. I'll never forget that. To sleep a perpetual sleep, one that you won't wake up in and you won't remember, and that is through 1 hour, one day, and not wake up, declares the Lord. Verse 57, and I shall make her princes and her wise men drunk. That could be through STA power, approbation, greed, sexual, whatever. See, her governors, her prefects, her mighty men, all the politicians. Obviously, you'll have exceptions, but they're few and far between. I'm here to tell you. That they may sleep or perpetual sleep and not wake up. Snooze while our enemies are advancing themselves militarily and building up strength and technology and military that will greatly surpass even our abilities. Declares the King, whose name is the Lord of Hosts. The phrase in darkness, indicating the lack of true perception and the inability to order one's walk or steps appropriately, like you're stumbling around in the middle of the night because there's no light, pitch black, which perception is only provided by the light of the Word of God. John 8:12. Jesus therefore spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in 12:35, Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you keep on having the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He walks in the darkness, does not know where he goes. Like having a high beam spotlight with doctrine in the midst of the darkness of the cosmos. 13. So those terms bring out and emphasize the useless nature of being out of fellowship to God, depending on, obviously, how far you're running under your sin nature. 13, walking by the Spirit or filled with the Spirit is the one method of spirituality and victory over the STA. That is how you are able to be victorious in combat with your inner self. Some people may think that's crazy, but it's what it is. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Excuse me, wrong one. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. 14, when the indwelling Holy Spirit rules the soul, the believer does not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. You get in fellowship, then you're walking in light. Again, Galatians 5:16, also Romans 8:13. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body. So, in contrast to synonyms for Operation SCA, we have 15 synonyms for the state of the filling of the Holy Spirit. In contrast to dead, we have alive, point A, which indicates one's condition, spiritual condition experientially. Romans 6:13. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. And also 7:9. I was once alive apart from the law. When the commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. So B, filling of the Holy Spirit, which indicates rulership, who rules over the real you. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit rather than running under your sin nature, such as drunkenness is one example. So see, walking in the Spirit, light or love, that indicates our modus operandi and vivendi, our method of operation and manner of life. Again, Galatians 5:16, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. Application of the doctrine in fellowship, divine love. Not this modeling, gushy, emotional stuff that the fundies try to push on people, and gave Himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The imitators of God, when you're in fellowship, it indicates the representation, our ambassadorship. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, Ephesians 5:1. Be slaves to righteousness, that indicates ownership. God owns us. Again, Romans 6:16 and 18. F, simply referred to as being spiritual. And again, that indicates the state of spirituality, similar to our condition. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Spiritual there. Looks to one who's in fellowship, see. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. And then finally, G, crucify. That indicates who or what, that being the cross, we identify with. Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Affording ourselves the benefit of what Christ accomplished for us with respect to the cross and the STA. So see, this final part here, this section deals with the STA and our Phase 3 sanctification. Phase 3 being our eternal niche, where we're eternally set apart in God's plan in that respect after our life in this temporal fleshly body. So one, the inner conflict between the STA and the Holy Spirit ends at physical death or the rapture, whichever may occur first. It is definitely a life battle, just as the Christian life is a life endeavor, a pursuit. And not until you are able to get rid of your DNA-contaminated flesh with the sin nature and death gene are you able to operate without this inward influence. So, two, since the STA is a part of the body of corruption, when the soul is separated from the body, the STA is left behind. Three, this is one very important reason for understanding that the STA does not reside in the soul, but in the body. Your soul is created immortal. Nothing can touch it, affect it, except for God. It has an eternal destiny, whether it is negative and unbelief or a believer. The body of corruption, the soul interfaces with this body of corruption at the point of birth, when the newborn takes his first breath of life. So another good reason to understand that the STA is part of our DNA makeup, but it is not part of our soulish makeup. So four, there will be no STA in the resurrection body, since we inherit a body like his being Christ, which his body is perfect and sinless. And our resurrection bodies will be one like his. We'll still maintain our individual identity and appearance, etc. But it will be created by God and perfect. Philippians 3:20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. We have dual citizenship. We are citizens, or more if you want to count your one here in our country. But we have one on earth, the cosmos, and we have one of heaven by being believers. Our true citizenship is in heaven. That's the one that's our ultimate eternal home. See. From which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, to be like his, by the exertion of the power, his omnipotence, that he has even subject all things to himself. He controls, and being the creator, he has complete control over all the atoms and any other aspect of creative matter that exists. And he will transform it. Our atoms, as they may be, either floating in space or left somewhere in the deep or whatever, in the ground, dust, and he will bring it all back together with a new resurrection body. And then confer 1 John 3:5. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So, 5, mature believers look forward to it. It is an expectation. It doesn't mean that we have any type of death wish in this regard, but we recognize the more excellent state of having a resurrection body and being able to exist in that state, never have to face death, pain, sorrow, any of these things ever again. Be able to transport ourselves dimensionally through space between the third heaven, our atmospheric heaven, you know, whatever. Walk through walls, materialize. All the cool things that are associated with the resurrection body. Again, one that highlights it is never again do we have the inner conflict of the sin nature. I mean, obviously it's something kind of hard to wrap your mind around because we have one and you live with one and you don't know what it's like to be without one. But when you do, when you experience it, hopefully these words will resound in your memory and you go, yeah, that's right. Now, this is cool. Romans 7, 24 and 25. Again, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. On the one hand, I myself with my body serve the law of God, the other with the flesh the law of sin. 6, sins of the STA were judged in Christ that the STA might be done away with. Knowing this, that our old self, Romans 6:6, our old man was crucified with him retroactively. Traditional truth, see. That our body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. He conquered his absolute rulership and hold over mankind. And then confer 1 John 3:8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's sin. Sin nature. Seven, the mechanics of it is explained in 1 Corinthians 15:35 through 38. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? Reincarnated, come back as a pig? He acted like a pig during time, but maybe that'd be apropos, but you know. No. You idiot. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Look at nature. See how nature works, especially in the plant world. Things die, they have to go through death so that they can reemerge with fresh new life. That which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, verse 37, but a bare grain, perhaps a weed or of something else. But God gives the body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. So the mechanics is killing it, to put it simply. How do you get rid of SCA? You kill it. And God gives you a new one. New body without an STA. So. So 8, E3, which is the category of evil which is tantamount to human good, the believer is judged and thrown out. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 3:13-15, in regards to our works being judged under the principle for the believer of SG3. Anything out of fellowship is human good. It'll be burned up. But yet, we will still be saved as if by fire. If your works remain, then that is evidence that what you did was in fellowship. Obviously, we'll all have our own individual bonfires. But hopefully, when it's all said and done, you'll have a good account and mound of gold, silver, and precious stones laying there in the bottom. Those things that will make you exceedingly wealthy for all eternity, place you above the norm. So 9, there will be no STA in the eternal state. In the eternal state, once human history is completed and totally over with, those who will enter into the eternal state in fleshly bodies from the millennial period and post there during the rebellion that are believers, they will partake of the tree of life in regards to the leaves, which will eradicate, reverse the DNA and the SCA DNA in their bodies, and from then on out produce through procreation the natural bodies of babies without a sin nature. Obviously, all of us in resurrection bodies, that's no issue. Revelation 21:8, this is a condition in regards to the new heaven, the new earth, that people, the SCA, has no place but for the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So Roman numeral 8, Satan too has a lust pattern. It's not the SCA, but it's his own, even though you might call it the SCA, satanic trend. I don't know what the A would stand for, but anyway. Sinful trend of Satan, STS. Roman numeral 9, now in final concluding observations. A, all unbelievers are total slaves to the STA, and the only deliverance is faith in Christ. And that sets the stage for you to deal with it experientially in your life. Titus 3:3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived in our pre-salvation days, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But we're able to overcome that through faith in Christ. And no longer does it have absolute power over us. B, once you believe, you continue to possess and will repetitively succumb to the STA your entire life. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not even a righteous man that continually does good and does not sin. C, this begins the inner conflict between the indwelling Holy Spirit and the indwelling STA. The conflict, the inward conflict, the inward battle, as one and the other vies for the affections of our soul. Choose me. D, your particular weakness and area of sinning is not going to necessarily be the same as another person's area of sinning or weakness. The variety of SCA manifestation and trends is as numerous as the variety of difference of appearances and things of this nature. So, even though you will find similarities across the board in general. So you've got to be aware of that. Not be self-righteous. Build your righteousness on other people's unrighteousness, because you don't have a trend in that area and you fail. And you don't fail in a certain area, but they did. See? Well, that's set yourself up to test God, if you ask me. D, D, your particular weakness in area of sinning is not going to be necessarily the same as another person's area of sinning. E, Operation SCA is a reason prayer is unanswered. And something you've always, you got to check it. You got to deal with it. If you're leading with your SCA in regards to your prayers, obviously, you know, it's not going to be a prayer generally that God's going to honor. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. The asking is in the context of prayer. Wrong motives means that they're being led by their sin nature in this regard. Sit there and pray to God that He blesses your drunken, hell-raising time tonight. Really. Happy hangover tomorrow. That's how He'll bless it for you. You ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. It doesn't mean that you don't pray about things that you would like to acquire, etc. But it's this constant SCA-driven attitude, and that's what you're leading with. So, F, just food for thought. Recognizing principles of the SCA helps one to avoid judging others. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. To maintain a proper balance. Recognizing, yeah, we all stumble, as James says, in many ways. And so you don't get bent out of shape. And offenses come, and they will. Because someone got under their SCA. And you maintain the proper balance. Willing to forgive. And forgive yourself, too. Move on. Often the SCA will get a hold of you and convince you you're not worthy. See, try to drag you down that way. Just give up. You're not going to. You can't do this. You're not good enough to be a good witness in regard to positive volition. If your SCA doesn't do that to you, then maybe I'm just weird. It does it to me. You're not good enough. See. Well. Way, what do you expect when you're constantly taking your SCA and you're shoving his face in the Bible doctrine all the time? What do you want to say? Oh yeah, we can do that. So just one of those things to maintain a proper balance with others and with yourself. See? Alright, so you messed up. Rebound. Move on. See? That's the attitude you've got to adopt if you want to persevere. Otherwise, your SCA is just going to take you down further and further and further. Keep you out of fellowship longer and longer and longer. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, i.e., you're in fellowship, versus someone who's got another SCA heading towards reversionism, if not in it, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. See? Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Offenses come doesn't mean that you sit there and you rock it in your lap. Well, that's all right. You know, yeah, it's going to have an effect on you. But you've got to get a hold of your own SCA, and you've got to ultimately forgive and move on. You know, if you want to maintain your own life, otherwise you'll find yourself immersed in bitterness and anger. And you can't get over that. And that's constantly hindering you. See. G, we should encourage each other and provide support in the battle that each one of us faces. H, we are not to follow the SCA, but rather produce divine good. Get in fellowship. Apply Bible doctrine. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God has been revealed as saving grace, literally, to all men, instructing us to deny God ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. To discipline ourselves. Waiting for the blessed hope, which is the rapture, and the appearing of the glory of our great God, Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless work, deed, and purify for himself a special people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things communicate, exhort, reprove with all authority. Titus, the pastor teacher, Paul to him. Let no one be contemptuous with you. ISTA types will be much evident in the last days. Coming out of the woodwork. If I even have to suggest that you need to read the Bible to figure that one out, then you are blind to what's going on around you. I mean, it is definitely coming out of the woodwork. In the last days especially, it will be prevalent, it will be dominant, and it will be universal. And it becomes so blatantly in our face because of the advent of technology. That doesn't mean technology is evil. But that is, it brings things to us so quickly. Technology does so quickly, immediately, from anywhere anymore. That, you know, we're pounded with it. We're bombarded with it. 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. 2 Peter 3, 3. Finish this up so we can start fresh when we resume. J. Believers under the STA explain the born-again religious world and all their bizarre interpretations of Scripture and result in goofy teaching and activities. Okay, believers in the last days will fall under the STA deception of plurality of teachers. Listen to them all. These, quote, ear ticklers, Operation Q-tip, as we refer to it, end quote, are teachers who will stroke their lust grid rather than challenging it. That's one reason why people often will not endure Bible class in the Sound Adjusted Church, because they don't want someone like me sitting there telling them, you're wrong with divine viewpoint, obviously. Sit there and cater to them. Sugarcoat things for them. Oh, it's all right. No, it's not all right. You're under the SCA, it's not all right. We recognize the reality that God says it's wrong. And hence, that's what doctrine tells you. And one who is exhortative in regards to communicating to others will communicate it in such fashion. Not mean-spirited. And hopefully not too loud, like you have to yell. But if it happens, it happens. Depending on, obviously, what's going on. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 prophesies that. And then finally, the cosmic system with its various lusts is transitory and is passing away. Everything that your STA has propensity for is trying to get you to embrace and go with is physical. See? It's to satiate its physical desires. Well, guess what? One of these days, that physical reality is done and gone and out of here. And that's 1 John to wrap up the doctrine 2:15-17. Do not, or literally stop loving the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't run under your SCA and embrace the world and at the same time be embracing God. They're incompatible. There is no partnership. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Satan sponsors this. And other people under their sin nature's negative volition, they make it available. See? And the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Keep us in your prayers as we will do the same for you, and we'll see you after our break. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.